As you heard at the beginning of Mass, this date, January the 22nd, has special significance for us as Catholics and as Americans. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that this morning. As some of you know, I have office hours on the first Saturday of every month to meet with families and schedule baptisms. It's fairly routine. It's mostly collecting paperwork and filling out forms. But a few years ago, there was one meeting that I will never forget, and it was anything but routine. A young mother arrived at the office, filled out the forms, and after she'd finished, I looked it over and I noticed that she had left a couple of spaces blank. "You forgot something," I said. "You forgot to put down the name of the father and his religion." There was a long pause, and she said quietly, "I don't know who the father is." And then she explained, "I was raped." I didn't quite know what to say after that. We spoke for a few minutes, finished filling out the forms, and as she got up to leave, I shook her hand, and I told her that what I thought she was doing as a young single mother was very courageous. She answered very matter-of-factly, but with resolve. She said, "It's life. You have to do what you have to do." I saw her a few weeks later at the baptism, and seeing her holding that baby in her arms, sharing that moment with her family and friends, one thing was very clear. That child will never lack for love. Whatever may have brought that young life into being, that child was welcomed. That child is loved. This weekend in particular, that mother and child are both on my mind and in my prayers. They remind me of something that all of us need to remember. We are people of life. We value it. We believe in resurrection, in healing, in hope. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus said. We are people who follow the way, who seek the truth. We are people of life. And this Sunday, we pause to declare that to the world. We put on these purple vestments and we offer special prayers to note a sad milestone. It was 39 years ago today, January 22nd, 1973, that the Supreme Court legalized abortion. We may not be wearing the sackcloth of the people of Nineveh from the first reading, but this is a sign of sorrow and mourning. It's the same color we wear during Lent, a time of prayer and repentance. Now, you'll hear a lot of people, including a lot of prominent Catholics, who will tell you that they are personally opposed to abortion, but think that it should still be legal. It might be useful to look at what that kind of thinking has given us and what it means. It means that today, 22% of pregnancies, one in five, ends in abortion. It means that 47% of the women who have had an abortion have had more than one. 3/4 of them say they have abortions because a child would interfere with their job or their education. It means that on average, there are 3,500 abortions every day in this country. That sounds abstract, so let me make it real for you. That's approximately the same number of people who came to this church on Christmas Day. All gone in one day. Looked at another way, statistically, by the time you leave Mass here today, another 145 innocent lives will be lost. Years ago, Cardinal Joseph Bernardine of Chicago spoke of the seamless garment of life issues and how they are all connected. Some people today dismiss that and insist that all life issues are not created equal, and that is true up to a point. But a culture that devalues life, that doesn't respect life, won't just draw the line at abortion. It will go so much farther. That culture creates an environment that cheers capital punishment. It is a culture that legalizes assisted suicide. It supports torture and the degradation of the human person. It enables bullying. It objectifies and devalues human beings through pornography. And as we learned just this past Friday, that culture considers religious freedom and the human conscience, a personal sense of right and wrong, good and evil, irrelevant. The government on Friday ruled that religious institutions have to offer free contraceptive coverage as part of their health plans. No exceptions. That includes the morning after pill and sterilization. A culture that doesn't respect life will do all of this and wrap it in the warm and unthreatening blanket, the seamless garment of choice and freedom and liberty. This is our world today. But it doesn't have to be our world tomorrow. Last week, one of the presidential candidates said in a debate, and I paraphrase, that laws can't change a country's values. It's the other way around. Values, he said, have to change our laws. And he's right. Marching, protesting, campaigning, lobbying, all of that can have an effect, but it can only do so much. The real work, the important work, the hardest work of all, happens in our neighborhoods, in our churches, in our schools, in our homes. It's conversations around the dinner table and lessons in the living room. It is teaching our children that we are people of life. It is raising them to love those who are weak, to protect those who are vulnerable, and to respect those who are different. But are we paying attention? In the gospel we just heard, Jesus called his first apostles while they were mending their nets. They dropped what they were doing and followed him. Too often, I think, we ourselves are too busy mending our own nets. We are consumed by the mundane realities of daily life and too distracted to hear what is really important. We miss Christ's call to conversion, to repentance, the call, as we heard, to believe in the gospel. Especially now, especially today, it is nothing less than a call to be people of life. To be people who cherish life in all its complexity and confusion and all of its sanctity. To be people who not only shake our heads in sorrow at the state of the world, but who bow our heads in prayer and who lift our heads in hope. We are people of life. We are Catholic Christians. In the second century, Christians did what the pagans refused to do. In the midst of a plague, they cared for those no one else would care for. And the great theologian Tertullian wrote that it moved the pagans to say, "See how these Christians love one another." That is our legacy and our mandate, to protect and defend and, yes, to love the most vulnerable, the old, the sick, the abused, the abandoned, the forgotten, the unborn. That is our way. We are people of life. In doing that, in living out our call and answering it like the disciples at the seashore, we will one day help bring about the change we so ardently pray for every year on this terrible anniversary. What that young mother told me a few years ago was more than pragmatic. It was prophetic. It's life, she said. You do what you have to do. This is what we have to do. And if we do, we will change the values of our culture, and we will change the laws. And one day, all that we hope and pray for this Sunday will be realized. We won't have to march on Washington. We won't be preaching about this from the pulpit. And we won't be wearing purple. And January the 22nd will be just another day on the calendar.